Excuse me one sec. I'm not about to pulp up from behind the pulpit in a different costume or something like that. Just got to get this thing wired. I've had this computer for probably close to, I don't know, 10 years by now, and it still works great, but the battery is practically in really rough shape, so I got to have this thing plugged in at all times in order for it to work. So good evening to you all. It's great to see you all here tonight. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read a chunk of verses starting at verse 32. All right. There we go. Verse 32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. We'll stop there. Let's go before him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you again in the name of your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for this beautiful day that you've given to us. Thank you for the fact that we can gather here together in your name and to listen to your word being proclaimed, Lord God. We thank you for the power of your word. So many speakers come up here and share thoughts from your word, and your Holy Spirit works through them, Lord God. We're thankful for the power of the verses in here, your word to us today, how the Holy Spirit can work and convict our hearts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. We thank you for the very reason that we gather, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, the ultimate example in everything, Lord. The one who went to that cross willingly and died there, shedding his blood for our sins, all to bring us back into fellowship with you, all to wash away our sins, and all to reveal your great love for us, Lord. He is the ultimate fulfillment of everything, and we're so thankful for him and what he has done. And now, Father, as thoughts are shared and your word is proclaimed, I pray that again that this Holy Spirit would work through what is shared, that our hearts would be open and ready and willing to receive what is shared, and that we'd all be reminded of the truth of your word. We ask and pray for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight, the key verse that I'd like to focus on, according to his will, of course, is verse 1 of chapter 12. I'll read it once again. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So after reading this verse, one fair question to ask would be, who exactly are the cloud of witnesses being referred to here? What group of people is this verse talking about? Well, when you look at the context here, the verses that we already read, and for that matter, other verses that we didn't read for the sake of time, it appears that the cloud of witnesses would be referring to those believers from the Old Testament, for example, who have come and gone before us today. And it seems like this could also apply to those believers from the New Testament too, in some ways. Because everyone, when you imagine all these people from the Old and New Testament who have fought the good fight, finished the race, lived for God, and passed into eternity, it truly is a massive cloud of witnesses, indeed. Just like the emphasis says here, so great a cloud of witnesses. Now on the flip side, what did this massive group of people witness exactly? Well, many things. For example, they bore witness to the promises of God being fulfilled in their lives. They witnessed the end of their faith. They witnessed the Lord working through their whole lives all the way to the very end, and so on and so forth. But the other thing that we can take away from that word witness here is that the lives of all these brothers and sisters who came before us, they are each a testimony to the truth that God is faithful and His promises are trustworthy. Their very lives are a witness to you and I today. And I'll share more about that later. But truly, when you read the words of the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, you find so many people have trusted and follow after the Lord. They've come and they've gone before us today now. I mean, think about it. Throughout the Scriptures, we have a massive amount of sinful, imperfect people who were made new by the grace of God, declared righteous through faith. And consequently, these people followed after Him in trust and obedience. Many of these people endured hard times, difficult trials, yet they also experienced great triumphs and had amazing adventures. But again, through it all, these people ultimately trusted in the Lord all the way through to the end of their lives, where they crossed the finish line, as it were. Yes, many of them stumbled along the way, but they still made it to the end. We have countless examples of these faithful yet imperfect people, well-known people from the Old Testament, for example, such as Abraham, Moses, Joshua, David, Elijah, Daniel, etc., etc. And they're also the underrated and often overlooked heroes like Abel, Jonathan, Aaron, etc. But whether well-known or underrated, a lot of these people are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 too, in the Hall of Faith, as it were, where we see examples specifically of what the Lord was able to accomplish through them by their own faith and trust in Him. So thinking back about all these people who came before us, now here we are today in the year 2024, many years later. And truly, we live in a world today that's very different from back in the Old Testament, but also quite similar in some ways when you think about it. Because even now, thousands of years later, we're still sinful, broken people who need the grace and love and truth and forgiveness that only our great God can give. And praise His name that He does so freely. But folks, following after the Lord Jesus Christ and walking with Him, the straight and narrow path, it's not a brand new thing today. You and I are far from the first people to do this, nor are we likely to be the last until the Lord returns. If you're here tonight and you have repented of your sins, you've put your faith and trust in Him and are born again, you're not the first person to be identified with Him and to follow after Him. Like I talked about, there are truly many others who have also followed after Him. And guess what? Many of them finished the race. They made it to the finish line where they were received into glory and into His presence. They may have fumbled and stumbled and tumbled along the way sometimes, But they kept moving forward. They kept chasing after God's heart. They kept growing in the faith. They kept growing in their knowledge of Him. Now, of course, on the flip side, let's not forget that there were also some people mentioned in the scriptures who started off strong, but did not finish strong at all. There were some who died as fallen away folk. And there were others who turned their backs on the Lord completely and were brought into His presence just the same, but for judgment and condemnation. But as far as the faithful folk go, like I mentioned earlier, Hebrews 11 gives us many significant examples. And while, yes, the cloud of witnesses here does seem to refer to those people from the Old Testament, the New Testament, who've come and gone before us, I can also think of some brothers and sisters in the faith who made it to that finish line very recently, too. Very recently. And their lives also stand as witnesses for us today. So perhaps they could be considered part of this cloud of witness too. Something to think about. But with this in mind, we can take comfort tonight and be reminded that it is possible to reach the finish line, folks. It is possible. It may seem very far away. It may seem impossible sometimes looking at the distance that's between us and there. But the Holy Spirit can give you the power and the strength that you need to just keep going, to just keep running. Without Him, it's impossible to endure and triumph over everything that comes between the starting line and the finish line of your walk with God. I mean, look at all the things, both good and bad, that the Old Testament saints endured, for example. Again, Hebrews 11 gives us examples of this. And those verses that we read, verses 33 to 38, they even give us a little summary of some of these things. For example, from verse 33 to the first half of verse 35, we have a list of all the good things that came for these people. We're told that these believers subdued kingdoms. We can think of David and Joshua, for example, in that regard. Both mere men who the Lord used greatly to do things like that. We're also told these believers wrought righteousness. Look at the reigns of kings such as Josiah and Solomon. Two men whose kingdoms were indeed far from perfect, but were still characterized by righteousness for the most part, at least until the end. We're also told that these believers were given promises from God and saw them fulfilled. Greatest example that comes to my mind would be Abraham and Sarah in that regard. Others stopped the mouths of lions. Who better of an example of that than Daniel in the lion's den? And the list goes on and on and on. So again, verses 33 to the first half of 35 talk about the good things, but then from that last part of verse 35 to the end of verse 38, we're given a list of the not-so-good things that these people faced. They were tortured. Look at what the prophets of God endured during their testimonies. Jeremiah, for example, comes to mind. They endured trials of cruel mockings and scourging. Joseph's brothers mocked him and sold him into slavery. Many other prophets of God were whipped and tortured for their faith. They were stoned, sawn asunder. The list goes on. So many examples. But throughout all the good and all the bad that these people faced, what did they all have in common? Well, verses 2 and 38 of chapter 11 tells us that they obtained a good report through faith. In the end. Yes, these men and women of God were not perfect in their everyday lives. They stumbled into sin from time to time. But the end result and the overall summation of their lives was that they were declared righteous through their faith in God. And again, they made it to the finish line of the race. You know what else they had in common? Verse 34 tells us they were made strong out of weakness. I find that very encouraging, I'll tell you that. And again, that ties into the point made earlier about how it's impossible to keep up this race without the Spirit of God working in your life. And it truly was only through the God's Spirit working in these people that they were able to bear witness to all the great things that the Lord did in their lives. And by the power of His Spirit, they endured all the hard times with patience and trust in Him. Verse 38 adds that these were people of whom the world was not worthy. And it's true. They each lived great faith-filled lives, and what they got in return for that oftentimes was, whether it be from the Israelites or other nations, was hardship and pain many times from the world around them. Abel was betrayed and killed by his own brother. Noah was despised and ignored before the flood came. Abraham and Sarah struggled with infertility for years until God's promise was fulfilled. Joseph endured false accusations, slavery, and countless other things. Jonathan's own father tried to put him to death twice. And again, the list goes on. But then the last part of this verse makes another interesting point, specifically, I think, about these Old Testament believers who lived and came before us. It says they received not the promise. Think about it. None of these people in the Old Testament lived to see the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ in that manger in Bethlehem. Nor did they get to enjoy the blessings from His ministry or read about them many, many years later, like us today. So the fact that you and I here tonight, we do know that He came. We do have the records here. We do know this promise. It's a reminder that we have been given and blessed with so much in this day and age. We have so much to be thankful for. But again, what does the Lord remind us? To whom much is given, much will be required. Right? Now, of course, we know all these famous and well-known people from the Scriptures. But who knows how many other faithful folk also live lives of faith and obedience and trust in Him to the very end. People whom the Holy Spirit chose not to mention in the Scriptures. Who knows how many children of God back then lived lives marked by faith, obedience, and trust, and yet we'll never know their names in this life because the Scriptures don't tell us. Only the Lord knows how many sheep are in His pasture. And you never know. We may find out someday, and it'll be neat to meet those other people and hear their stories firsthand when we get to eternity. Brothers and sisters, whether you're here virtually, whether you're here presently or virtually, please remember and take comfort in the truth tonight that for every step you take in this Christian walk, the saints who came before you have walked it too. Their lives stand as a witness and a testimony and an example for each of us, for you and for me. No matter what you go through in this life or will go through, what you do or what you experience, there's probably an example of someone in the Scripture who endured either the very same thing or something similar. Have you ever been falsely accused? Countless believers experience that in the Scriptures. Have you ever been abused? Again, countless examples. Look at what they did to the prophets of God. Look what Joseph's own brothers did to him. Have you ever made a choice and then regretted it later? Tons of examples of that too. I'm sure David had many regrets. I'm sure Moses constantly thought back to that day when he smote the rock twice instead of speaking to it like the Lord commanded him to do. I'm sure he regretted that till his very end. And ultimately, look at what our Savior endured through His whole life. From the manger to the cross. Think of the abuse, the loneliness, the mocking, and so on and so forth. The last part of verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12 even reminds us of this regarding Him. It says He endured the cross. And what an endurance that was. Think of all the mental, verbal, emotional, and physical abuse that was languished upon Him that night as He hung there naked for all to see. enduring such contradiction of sinners against himself. And yet even now, to this day, he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Worthy of that in every way. So we can take comfort in the truth that when the race gets long and hard and brutal and seemingly impossible, we have examples here in God's Word of the men and women who ran this very race and made it to the finish line. And each one of them would be able to bear witness and testify to us that getting to that finish line, it is possible. It is doable, but only through the power and grace and strength of the Holy Spirit working in you. Now, before we move forward a little bit, yes, like I said, we're spending a lot of time on this verse tonight. Another thing I love about this verse, verse 1 of chapter 12, is that there's also a present day application to this topic of the cloud of witnesses when you think about it. Because again, each of us who are born again tonight, we are all called as children of God to bear one another's burdens in this life, aren't we? We're called to come alongside each other. We're called to bear witness to each other's triumphs and hardships. We're called to surround each other in love and be united in Christ. Kind of like a cloud, isn't it? Such that as one member of the body of Christ suffers, the rest of us suffer with them. When one believer suffers, the rest of the body should indeed suffer with them. We shouldn't think ourselves better than those around us. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as all you do. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 9. Two are better than one. They have a good reward for their labor. If they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Many other verses support that this truth, but those are just some examples. I cannot stress this enough, my friends, especially for the young people who are here tonight who are born again. Well, younger people. I still like to think I'm still pretty young, although the constantly reoccurring gray hairs here tell me otherwise every day. But anyway, joking aside, just like you're not the first person to run this race following after Christ, you're also not alone right now in your walk with Christ. Nor should you be. We're each called to bear one another's burdens, aren't we? But in order to bear someone's burden, you have to know the burden exists. In order for you to know the burden exists, you have to see and bear witness to it, right? A person who's called to testify in open court as a witness can do so because they actually saw the crime took place, right? They can describe what happened. They can answer questions and testify about what they saw. That's what a witness is. So how many of us know the struggles of those around us that we say we're close to? How many of us can describe those struggles, perhaps in a prayer to the Lord? We cannot run this race for Christ alone, nor should we try and do so. It won't work. We're called the body of Christ for a reason. We need each other, brothers and sisters. We need each other. Personally, I tell you this, if it weren't for the help, guidance, and prayers of those far stronger in the faith and far more mature in the faith than I am, I don't know where I would be right now today. There are giants in the faith who came alongside me right when I needed them, and I cannot thank them enough for taking an interest in my life. People, surround yourself with those like-minded in the faith, like a cloud or a community for that matter. If you have no one like that right now, find them. they're out there, perhaps even here tonight. Seek God's guidance through prayer and in the scriptures, and let his spirit lead you to them. When you have friends around you who are like-minded in the faith, they can help you when you fall down. They can speak his truth to you right when you need it the most. And folks, find people who are not only like-minded in the faith, but find some who are more mature in the faith than you. Have more experience in this race than you. Maintain your company with them too. Again, I can think of faithful men and women who are, again, far more mature in the faith than I was, that came into my life right when I needed them the most. And I can also think of those like-minded in the faith too, who came alongside me too in difficult times. But even if you don't have a ton of friends, nor are you the kind of person who wants a ton of friends, sometimes all you need is just that one friend or two who are close to you, who know your struggle and pain and joy and triumph, and you know theirs, and the bond that you share with them is in Christ. Run this race with patience, folks. It's not a sprint. Live this life for Christ day by day in obedience to his word and trust in his promises. Denying yourself, taking up the cross and following after him. Allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you day by day and convict you of your sins day by day and bring you into a daily repentance before him. Yes, this is not a new path that we're called to walk today. Many feet have raced across it and made it to the finish line, but it is called the straight and narrow path for a reason. This race is hard. It's challenging. It's not always going to feel good, but it's also very rewarding and awe-inspiring and just plain wonderful sometimes. It's incredible after you've run for a while to look back on the path behind you and see the workings of the Lord in your life and in the lives of those you love, and to see how far he has brought you and what he's accomplished. But again, while yes, many people have ran across the straight and narrow path, many, 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 many more people have opted to take the broad road instead. And sadly, some of them were perhaps even on this straight path with you for a while, or they even appeared to be, before they disappeared and went to the broad path. The more appealing one, the one that might make more sense from time to time, makes them feel good. But the end result of that path is still the same today as it was thousands of years ago. And here's a sobering thought from 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. The broad way is also not a new path, folks. And the ultimate destination for the broad way is the exact same now as it has been from the beginning. And as appealing, as well maintained as the broad path can appear to be, there is nothing that awaits you at the end but death and destruction and separation from God for eternity. Jesus himself warned us of this in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 13 to 14. Enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Yes, many people have walked the narrow path and reached the straight gate before us, but when you compare that to the number who have passed through the broad gate, it will seem like a few in the end, sadly. So if you're sitting here tonight, listening to me ramble, or watching here tonight, and you are a fellow child of God through faith and repentance in Christ, but you feel like you're all alone, that no one could possibly understand what you're experiencing at this moment, I want you to read the scriptures for yourself. Take a look at some of these examples. these testimonies of the people who have come and gone before us and take comfort and strength and reassurance and hope from the truth that many of these saints, many of the saints who came before you endured very similar things. Many endured even worse things in some cases. Things that we've never really seen in our lives here in Canada yet, but they still got through it. They trusted in Him. They made it through the hard times and saw great reward for their trials and tribulations. Perhaps not in this life, but in the next one. So yeah, the cloud of witnesses refers to those who came before us. It can also be applied to those who walk alongside you today. But lastly, did you know that you yourself are a witness? If you've put your faith and trust in Christ, you're also a witness. Think about it. If you've been born again by the grace of God, your eyes have been opened. Once you were blind, but now you can see and bear witness to what He has done and will do in you and through you. And someday, there'll be no more faith. You'll be able to finally look upon the Lord Jesus Christ and see Him with your own eyes and bear witness to who He truly is and see the fullness of what He has done for you in your life. As a born-again child of God, you are a witness to His saving grace in your own life. You're a witness to the Holy Spirit's work in your life. Perhaps even at this very moment as you sit here. But if you're sitting here tonight and you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, or maybe you're watching this and you don't believe in Him or never have, then perhaps you're witnessing His Spirit working in your heart for the first time even at this very moment, drawing you into repentance and faith. But the question is, what will you do next? Will you ignore His words speaking to your heart? Will you ignore His nail-scarred hands as He holds them open to you? Will you ignore His Spirit speaking to you? You know, 1 John chapter 5 and verses 6 to 12 remind us of some other truths that relate to these topics. This is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath the Son of God hath not life. So with the reminder of the cloud of witnesses who have come and gone before us, and with the cloud of brothers and sisters in Christ around us who bear witness to our own struggles and triumphs, and with you yourself being able to witness all that the Lord has done and will do, I echo verse 1 of chapter 12 here for each of you and for myself especially, and exhort each of us in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets you, and keep running. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't run away or stand still. One foot in front of the other, day by day by day. Even when it's hard, you feel lonely sometimes, you can't see the finish line through the storm, the doubts plague your spirit and soul, keep going. Keep moving forward. Keep running the race. There will be a day when you meet the One who authored your faith, and He will finish it. Keep your eyes on Him through it all. lay aside every weight, it says here. If there's something that you're carrying or holding on to that's slowing you down or hindering your ability to walk with God, lay it aside. Get rid of it. Even if it's not a bad thing in and of itself. If it's slowing you down or hindering your progress, lay it aside. It's far better to let go of a weight that you like and follow after Jesus than to be dragged down by it and experience loss and be saved as if by fire, as it were. Perhaps it's bitterness. Perhaps it's something practical that makes you stumble into sin. Lay it aside. Leave it at the foot of the cross where it belongs. And also lay aside the sin that so easily besets you. We've all got those, don't we? I need this reminder every single day. We all have those sins that so easily beset us and trip us up. The ones that are your weak spot and that you can give into barely without a single ounce of thought. Perhaps it's lying. Perhaps it's pride. Perhaps it's anger. Perhaps it's lust. Perhaps it's legalism. Thinking yourself better than others. William MacDonald said it best here. We must guard against the notion that the race is an easy sprint, that everything in the Christian life is rosy. We must be prepared to press on with perseverance through trials and temptations. If you're living a life of obedience and faith and trust in God, don't be surprised when the tough times come your way. But truly, let's be so thankful to the Lord that we have all these examples and reminders in the scriptures today of these people who came before us. That such a cloud of witnesses even exists in the first place. And also for the truth that the Lord has indeed provided or reserved a better thing for us, as he says here. There is something and someone far greater than anything and anyone in this life waiting for you at the finish line, folks. Me personally, I can't wait to just look upon the Lord Jesus face to face at the end. That blessing alone will be far greater than anything else that eternity with him has to offer. Just to see him, that alone will be incredible. Just finally being in his presence. So if you get tired or discouraged or weary as you run this race day by day, do what verse 2 of chapter 2 reminds us to do. Look upon him. Don't just glance at him from time to time. Keep your eyes fixed on him like a runner racing for the finish line. And one last thing as we wrap up, a little early. There will be a day when you see all the faces that make up this cloud of witnesses too. And what a privilege it will be to join with that cloud of witnesses as we all sing praises to and spend time in the presence of the one who's the very reason that so great a cloud of witnesses exists and surrounds us in the first place, our Savior and our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all I've got. Thanks. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of your Son again, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so thankful for him. We think about this truth of the cloud of witnesses, and truly, who are we witnessing? Him, our Savior, who he is, what he has done, what he is doing, what he has said. Father, we're so thankful for him and what he has done for us. Father, I pray for each and every one of us here. Perhaps there are some who are running the race and things are going well. Well, praise your name for that. I pray that you would continue to guide them, that they would continue to run and keep moving forward and keep growing and increasing in their knowledge of you. And perhaps there's some who are running, but their pace is slow. They've injured themselves. They're hurt inside in some way. Father, I pray that they would draw near to you. We know you'll draw near to them, but I pray that they would draw near to you, break down whatever walls they've erected between them and you, and just come into your presence. If there's any sin in their life, that they would repent of it, and then keep going. Pick themselves up and then keep running again, Lord. We're so thankful for your Spirit within us the instant we are saved, that he works in our hearts and convicts us and moves us to keep going and keep looking forward. So, Father, as we depart, I pray that we would meditate upon these truths, myself included, and remember these truths as we go about our day-to-day lives, Lord, whether it be sunshine or rain, that we would run after you, trusting in you. In your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.